Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks. I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma on December 7th, preaching for Brother Vep Ellis at Sheridan Christian Center. And at 5:30 of that morning, I awoke and heard this. God is ready to tap his resources, to set them in military array. God is now ready to tap his resources for an awakening in this end of days. Now, we're going to be coming to you around the 1st of January, and we're going to be speaking quite a lot, probably about the second week or so in January. We're going to begin something that has to do with the awakening. We're going to be talking to you about it then. But right now, I want to center on that where he said he is ready to tap his resources. God has resources. God has resources far in excess of anything this world system or the God of this world, Satan, could even think of. Now, one of his resources that I'm going to talk about is angels. We've been talking about angels, but a great angelic host. God is called in the Bible, one of his names, he reveals himself to us through his names. One of his names is Yahweh Sabaoth, or Jehovah of hosts, armies. He has armies. He has, the church is an army. Israel is an army. He has in the heavenly treasures of, Job tells us, hailstones that he can dispense at his use. But one of his greatest host is the angelic host. He's first called Jehovah of hosts by a woman I really appreciate knowing about in the Bible. She's the first one that ever prayed about and spoke about the Messiah. But we also want to say to you today, she's the first one ever to address God as Jehovah of hosts. In 1 Samuel, we find Hannah praying. She doesn't have a child. And I believe part of the burden laid upon her had to be by God because Israel was in such dire straits. Their priesthood was in the hands of Eli or Eli's sons. It was going to go into their hands when he died. He was very old. And Israel needed deliverance. And so when she prayed, she addressed God. She's praying about her own son, having her son herself. But in 1 Samuel 1:9, so Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli, or Eli the priest, sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. She was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, Jehovah Sabaoth, God of armies, if you will look upon the affliction of your handmaiden and remember me and not forget thine handmaiden, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And you remember that Eli thought she was drunk. She was just praying with her lips, you know, moving. But she spake in her heart, only her lips moved. And you know that the result of her prayers is the great prophet Samuel, who anointed David, king of Israel. But as to this title, Jehovah of hosts, it's so interesting. It can be translated Master of Legions. Barron, in his book on Zechariah, commentary on Zechariah, page 11 says, he is the Lord of all things, at whose call all created forces must marshal themselves as if for war. Now, remember the word that was given to me? God is ready to tap his resources to set them in military array. God is now ready to tap his resources for an awakening in this end of days. And the resources that are going to be set into military array to bring about God's will in these last days, part of those resources is a great angelic host. There are even, in the Bible, we are shown angelic armies. If you have your Bible today, turn with me to 2 Kings chapter 6. And in this case, checking 2 Kings chapter 6, we see in verse 8, the king of Syria warred against Israel. However, as he warred against Israel, it seemed that all of his plans were revealed to Israel before they got to war. So he called in his servants and said, "Please show me which one of you is for the king of Israel." He thought there was a spy among them. And one of his servants said, "No, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedchamber." And the king of Syria said, "Go and spy. Find out where he is, that I may send and fetch him." And it was told him, saying, "Behold, he is in Dothan." Therefore, the king of Syria sent horses and chariots and a great army. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host, an army, compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" Elisha's servant ran out and said, "Oh, my goodness, just around you and me, there's a great huge army and they've got us encircled." But Elisha the prophet answered, "Fear not," verse 16, "for they that be with us are more than they that be with them." Verse 17, "And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha." They that be with us, he said, are more than they that be with them. But they were in an unseen realm. And the Bible tells us that we in 2 Corinthians 4, 17 and 18, let's read that, because this is something that you're going to need to keep in mind. When you see that Babylonian system being judged, when you see the economic pressures in this world, you look at this, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal." That means they're passing away. "But the things which are not seen are eternal." So we're told here. Now look here too in the 17th verse. "Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." I can tell you folks that the things that are happening now, they'll pass away before you know it. But we're not looking at the things which are seen, but we look at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So we are to keep our focus on the unseen realm. And in that unseen realm, God still has these great hosts of armies of angels. The Bible tells us in chapter 12 of Hebrews, there are an innumerable company of angels with which the church does business. We'll talk about that later on in another broadcast. Right now, I want to say to you that angels are mentioned 295 times in the Bible. There are also references to cherubim, seraphim, and messengers in addition. In 59 of the 66 books of the Bible, angels are mentioned. 59 of the 66 books in the Bible. Can you see how much emphasis and what a part angels are in God's great economy? 57 of the appearances of angels appearances in the New Testament of angels, and 57 of these appear after the day of Pentecost. Jesus taught that angels are personal, they are sinless, they are immortal, they exist in great numbers, and have close relationships with people, and have specific roles and jobs, assignments, if you will. Angels make war, angels worship, angels bring assistance. Some heavenly hosts work together in praise and battle. Angels and people. We see that angels in Numbers 22, God had a message to deliver, and he opened the eyes of the prophet to see the messenger. He also opened the eyes of a donkey to see the messenger. Hagar prayed, Hagar and Ishmael, and an angel appeared to her. An angel appeared to Abraham at the sacrifice of Isaac. Angels appeared and delivered Lot and his family and made war on Sodom. Jacob saw angels ascending and descending on a ladder from heaven. Moses saw an angel in the bush. A cloud and pillar led Israel, but the angel of the Lord went before the cloud and the pillar. Gideon was commissioned by an angel who caused fire to come out of a rock. Samson's mother was visited by an angel before his birth. She had a long conversation with that angel. An angel accompanied the ones we call Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the furnace. Zechariah's angel smote him and caused him to be mute because of his unbelief, John the Baptist's father. Gabriel appeared to Mary, announcing her the coming of the Lord and the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. A host of angels proclaimed Jesus' birth. Jesus was strengthened by angels in the desert and an angel before his crucifixion. Jesus said he could have called many angels to rescue him. Thank God he did not. Angels moved the stone from the tomb. Angels told the disciples Jesus would come back the same way they were seeing him go. This was at the ascension of the Lord. On two occasions in Acts, angels delivered disciples from prison. Philip was sent to Gaza by an angel. An angel told him where to go in his ministry. Cornelius was sent a vision that opened the gospel to the Gentiles. Angels assist in the end time harvest. We are told in Matthew, children have guardian angels, and then we don't lose those guardian angels when we grow up, Matthew 18 tells us. Angels will be present at the judgment of the human race, Luke 12, 8 and 9. Revelation 5:2 refers to a strong angel. Many angels are mentioned in the book of Revelation in the final harvest. Of course, Psalms are filled with things about angels and things to angels. Angels respond to prayer. They respond to the confession of saints. The Israelites pray for deliverance, and God sent an angel to Moses. Elijah prayed to die, and God sent an angel to bring him food and strengthen him. The second time the angel brought food, Elijah lived 40 days off what the angel brought. The church prayed without ceasing, and God sent an angel to deliver Peter from jail, and an angel host sing in Luke chapter 2. The Bible is filled with angels. None of the angels have gone away. We're going to be talking more about the ministry of angels, and we're going to especially get into angels and their part in prosperity. Now, some of the things I'm going to read you this week come from Kenneth E. Hagin and an old sermon I had of his, but they also include these things in a mini book, and we're going to give you that free. It's called, by Kenneth E. Hagin, called How God Taught Me About Prosperity. We'll send you that mini book free. Just call us at 417-336-4877 or 1-800-972-3447. This is Billy Brim saying, Shalom, shalom, until the next time.